Good morning, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be here. As you can probably tell by the accent, I'm from the northeast of England, and I know there are a number of people from the northeast here today. So thank you to Margaret for such a wonderful, inspiring speech. It's all downhill from now, I'm afraid. I think when Rose contacted me and asked me if I would talk about transition, first it was wonderful because I hadn't heard from Rose for about 30 years. Where is she? She taught me. Isn't that brilliant? So it sort of made me think about my transition, and as Baroness Cumberledge said, I've spent lots of times having new beginnings, and I don't know if any of you know the work of Michael Huberman of Lives of Teachers and the different phases that you go through, but I think very quickly as a student nurse I learned how to manage new beginnings, and new beginnings were always just round the corner, you know, a new ward, a new department, a new set of activities, and you soon learned where to hide, where to keep out of the way, who to speak to, who not to speak to, and you very quickly took that experience to your next port of call. And I've been extremely lucky that I've been able to take some of my experiences, not just in hospitals and departments, and now in a university, because I've conned them into letting me be the dean, into, you know, right round the world. And it helps you when you are, you know, the chucks are down, you haven't got a suitcase and you're supposed to see a minister, to find the right kit to wear and to be able to actually manage the situation without being a complete wreck. So I think my career has taught me lots of things, and I have a lot of, I suppose, tools in the kit bag. But transition for student nurses and healthcare professionals is a really difficult one, I think, for today. Lots of people look back at their professional education and say, well, it was much better when I was a student nurse. It was great. Or P2000 has ruined it all and we haven't taught people how to care. We could be here for hours discussing those sorts of things. But from a university perspective and from where I am now, June and July in universities, it's the time of year when examination boards happen, their graduation ceremonies. And often people say to me as the dean, what do you do? Well, I turn up on the first day and usually welcome everyone, and in Northumbria, in our school, we have about 9,000 students, so I do several welcomes. So there's masses of faces of people in front of me who are scared stiff, and I'm, you know, brought in, good morning, welcome, wonderful to have you here, thank you very much, I'll see you at graduation. The only other time that I see them are the professional misconduct panels. disciplinary hearings, and it's often interesting that the students that I remember when I pass them on the stairs when they come back to do their CPD, I go, oh, hello, and they go, what are you doing now? And they go, I'm a nurse. And then I say, what are you doing? And I go, well, I'm the dean. And, you know, I know what they've done, and they probably knew what I was like as a teacher. So it is really, really interesting. But it's tough because sometimes you stop people's transition and you stop all their ambitions and all their hopes and desires. And just recently, as I sort of came down here yesterday, I was thinking that the internet has a lot to answer for. Because I have a large number of students, not just, say, two hands, of students who get involved in things on the internet, and their careers come to a very rapid end. And I'm sure, perhaps when I was a student, I might have said, Sister So-and-so's a right swine. I hate that ward. And she said such and such to me. But I never ever wrote it on my Facebook page. And of course, kids do that now. They do all sorts of silly things that they shouldn't do, and it halts their career. And, you know, if there's any message that you take home to your family and friends, please don't ever, ever, ever put anything on Facebook that you wouldn't want on the front page of the Daily Mail, because it's a dreadful thing. Anyhow, as I said, this time of year, it's exam boards, it's graduation ceremonies, and it's that sense of great achievement when you see the students walk those few steps across the stage. our Chancellor is Lord John Stevens, who I'm sure many of you know. Lord Stevens was the Metropolitan Chief Police Officer. He's a great strapping man of about 6'4", and he has a word for every single one of them, and it's a very special time. I think behind the scenes you hear the students say, "Oh, thank God I've finished that," or "I've done it. Can you imagine I actually passed?" They all think it's that end, I think, their 3 years at university, that now life's just going to be easy. And it's not quite like that. I think the mantle of university life into working life is a very dramatic change. And especially for healthcare professionals, you've heard from Sister Margaret this morning mentioned some of the things around targets, outcomes, inspections, quality assurance, healthcare commission, CDIF, MRSA, we've all got it. But the mantra of, "Well, I'm just a student," it's all come to an end. They can't say that any longer. It won't wash, I don't think, in the turbulent and hectic world of the NHS. The etiquette, punctuality, and the professional behaviours that we expect of professionals is much more paramount. Your employers, your co-workers, will very quickly judge what they think of you by your behaviour, your speech, your professionalism. It's okay to shout across the canteen to your fellow flatmates or your pals in your group, but shouting across the canteen in an NHS hospital, I don't think, is viewed with appropriate behaviour. Drifting in and out to class. Many of you might be surprised, but it's quite okay, apparently, to come late, go early, not pay attention. It's adult learning. You can look it up onto the e-portal, see what people are doing, have the lessons after they've been delivered. So why do I have to attend? Healthcare students are very different to other students in university. We keep a very rigorous check on their attendance. It's the compliance to the audits, to the professional body requirements. And so they'll say to us, "Well, my friend who I share a flat with is doing geography and they never have to sign in and they only do 4 hours a week." You know, and we've got them there morning, noon and night. Where's Jackie? Jackie will tell you. Keep a very close eye on them. Once or twice I've come in and all I've seen is the bottom of a pair of Doc Martens and not really the face that's attached to them. I found that really difficult as a nurse. And having to say to people, "Could you please take your feet down off the desk?" You know, and some brash lad from the west end of Newcastle says, "And what are you going to do about it?" "Well, I'll knock the chair from underneath you." But, you know. That's after I learnt a little bit. So it's a very interesting time, this transition, that the vast majority of our students are young people. I wouldn't say they're 18-year-olds, but they're very young. We have about 10 to 20% are mature students, so that's anybody over 25, so I think one or two of us might fit into that bracket. And people who've had other lives, so they come with lots and lots of other experiences. And it's interesting how they blend within the group. We have 356 student nurses twice a year. And that's a big cohort for to fit into and for to move out along with. I do believe that more students want to be worthwhile human beings. I do, on odd days, have my doubts, but I think truly I do. I think they want to do their very, very best. And they want to care for people holistically. And if one thing has changed in nurse education, you know, I was brought up in the task, you do this, you do that, you don't do that. I think holistic education for healthcare professionals is much more predominant now. Nurses are collaborators in care, but nursing is something you can't do alone and you can't cram it. And the results of examination boards show that people who think they can cram it are the ones who do not succeed. Short-term memory is not enough for healthcare professionals. If you work in an area where you can make mistakes, a few typo errors, nobody will complain too much. But if you can't add up and you can't undertake numeracy and you can't ensure the right drug is given to the right patient, then those potential injuries are much, much more severe. Most often, nurses find that it's better to collaborate in care, and often nurses come really with that keen desire to work in teams. And some of that is actually changing dramatically. The accountability and responsibility of practitioners is making people much more unique in the way in which they work. And an example I would give you is, in a previous life, I was an intensive care nurse. And you would look at the patients, you know, and, oh, I think they need their tube taken out. Oh, and so they would ask their mate that was looking after the patient next, do you think we should take the ET tube out? And it wasn't that they didn't know they could make that decision. It's just often if the colleague next to them said, oh, yeah, I think that they can manage without their ET tube in, it felt better if somebody else said yes. And I think it's interesting that we spend a lot of time now working with students about clinical decision making so that they actually can make some of those decisions without relying on other people. They are quite confident in themselves. We get a large number of students from very diverse areas. They perhaps are first generation individuals entering university. And it's quite hard because they come with lots of hopes and desires. They have been told they're good carers, they're nice people, and they want to be nurses. And there is more to nursing, and I think Margaret and Baroness Cumberledge link to that. It's about the brain and the heart. So with the best will in the world, if you don't pass your academic work, you do not become a registered nurse. And that is really very, very sad. It's equally, if you do not pass your exams on law to be a social worker, you don't become a social worker. And it can be very distressing. So it is important that students can show that they are intelligent, articulate, and motivated, that they need to be a team player, they need to be able to meet deadlines, stay organised, deal with struggles and challenges. But all of these people have social lives, they have family, they have other demands on themselves. And it's really often, I know people can feel that they'd want to fit all of their education around everything else that's in their life. And sometimes it's a bit of a struggle to get them to focus that their education for these 3 years is really of paramount importance. And as I say, I chair the exam boards, and the number of times people have personal extenuating circumstances, and for a variety of reasons. Some of our young people are going through dreadful experiences in their lives that with the best will in the world, they can't focus on their studies. And perhaps many of them have experiences in their lives that I know I didn't have till I was an awful lot older. And therefore, it is very, very difficult for them. A colleague of mine from Sheffield University wrote in 1985 that nurses fumbled along. She did quite a bit of work, Kate Gerrish, and she described the way in which nurses acquired their skills as very haphazard. I know that universities are not like that now, and ideally, students should not gain their skills in their practical areas haphazardly. The universities know that change is constant. It is with us, it's in front of us, behind us, and it's not going away. And the university's role is to help students develop and adjust. We need to look at each student and talk with them when they begin their programme about how they are going to manage themselves and grow in personal maturity. And we all do react in very different ways. Sometimes we engage, sometimes we don't engage. I know that I can tell you, well, perhaps I won't tell you because I might be too embarrassed, the areas that I absolutely hated as a student nurse. And I knew fine well I would never be able to do that type of care. But I do know the ones that I really loved. And I also know the role models that were in those variety of areas that actually I either said, I want to be like that person, or I never, ever want to behave that way. programmes of education and curriculum frameworks of learning are really where the students build their knowledge, their skills and their competencies. Throughout the programme of education, they are monitored and assessed. Feedback's given. Oh, the dreadful word, feedback. It comes up with the National Student Survey. It comes up in all the quality assurance reviews that we have. Do students ever read the feedback? I watch them coming away from the assignment office and all they do is look at the number in the corner. Oh, put it in the bag. I'll read the rest when I get home. Feedback is very, very important, and it's difficult sometimes for some individuals to understand the type of feedback that they get, because often they haven't been through an education system where they've been able to interact with that feedback and to make real use of it for the future, so that their personal growth is enhanced and that they actually own their learning themselves. However, alongside all of this education, it's the issue about professional attributes and what really is required in today's complex work settings. And they are many and they're very varied. And I did talk to some students and I asked them what did they think professionalism was. And it was interesting that they described the attributes as being confident, being able to give treatment and therapy, to be compassionate, to have empathy, to be flexible, to have good organisational skills, to have attention to detail, trustworthiness, knowledge of the field, to be skilled in current technology, to be good with people. Need I not go on? It's as simple as all of that. That's what, in their minds, would describe a good professional. And in some way, it's not just these aspects the students have to aspire to. In a professional role, they have to take on supervisory duties. And as the skill mix and the workforce change, inevitably, that is becoming a much earlier undertaking in their career. So they need to be able to manage themselves and manage other people. They have to be able to manage the care that they are delivering. And interacting with families and patients at often very crucial times in individuals' lives. And also interacting with other professionals. And sometimes those real barriers between the different professions can be the most detrimental point in a patient's life. Particularly, professionals are operating within codes of conduct, ethical dilemmas, becoming accountable and responsible, and I've said delegating and managing. And a lot of our students perhaps aren't as mature in themselves when they arrive at the university. And it's about helping them mature in the safety of the environment of the university. I can remember, I think, in my early days, I learned very quickly what to say, what to do, what to touch and what to not touch. I can remember a theatre sister telling me off for standing against a wall waiting for a patient coming out of surgery. She just said to me, you know, the wall will stand there, you don't need to lean against it. I mean, I can remember being devastated, you know, I just ran up 3 flights of stairs. I was a lot younger and a lot thinner, but you know, she just took my feet from underneath me. So how could I look after that patient after I just felt like crying and ringing me mum? It was just dreadful. So you know, it is really hard, I think, sometimes that students face such a challenge. We do various things, I think, to help this transition. And it starts really before the students arrive at the university. The application forms. Nursing is still one of the key subjects in universities that we interview for. And last year we interviewed 800 candidates for 350 places. We only take the 350. I'm not suggesting that the other numbers were not suitable. But it's often when you ask the students what they believe they want to do in nursing or what they understand by nursing, that you soon understand which ones are the casualties and which ones are the Holby City followers. And you get many different definitions of nursing. And I've had my eyes opened, actually. You know, you say I've been doing it for 30-odd years, but there's always a student who comes in and says, well, this is what I think a nurse does. And you think, oh, really? Very interesting. Oh. Not in the northeast, anyhow. But it is a difficult judgment on aptitude for caring. And how we try to manage it in Northumbria is we have a very large clinical simulation suite, which in sort of my day used to be called a practical room. But it's not full of trays and trolleys the way it used to be. We have mannequins who can talk, who can cry, who can breathe, who we fit the clever stuff here, all the technology into them, and we create scenarios where the teachers, through a one-way mirror, can actually operate a set of activities and the students learn to work together. We bring the medical students from Newcastle University to Northumbria, and we have the medical students and the nursing students and physios all working together around clinical scenarios. And it's great fun. Everyone loves it, and they do think they're on casualty usually. But they can actually play through a scenario. All sorts of things happen to the mannequin, whether it's a child or an adult, and the baby cries, and it's just lovely. It's called George, if anybody wanted to know. And then the students can watch themselves back. And I can remember the first time I ever saw the most horrendous wound in a patient's abdomen. And I probably looked as if I just about died. But students don't know they're going to react like that. And we can help students work through some of those really difficult situations where they don't know what to say, there's a silence, they don't know what to do, the patient dies. We can play all of those scenarios in different settings and allow the students to then watch themselves and to work together in groups as critical friends to help them for when the situations are real. In the very hectic and really pressurised work of the NHS, you perhaps haven't got the time to see lots and lots of different settings and scenarios. So the students, I believe, thoroughly enjoy it. They learn a great deal from it. And I think the lecturers help them often draw on some of those inner strengths that perhaps we wouldn't usually see in the university, but they know are available to them when they actually go out onto practice. We also look at adult development, obviously, in a university. And this occurs, and the success seems to be in the self-initiating, the correcting and the evaluation skills that we help the students with. And for healthcare professionals, it's about becoming an accomplished person in your craft. And for us, that would be the craft of nursing. And this assimilation often of bringing new ways into old ways, because I'm sure you've all heard, well, this is how we do it here. And if you think you're doing it any other way, you're not working here. But we need to do that. The NHS is demanding we work in very, very different ways and that the students are innovative and creative. And therefore, it's very important that we help the students with that and with their own thinking. And in assessments, it's really interesting to watch students grow. The student will say to you, just tell me what I have to do. How many words do I have to write? About what, where, and when. And you send them off and you say, I'm not going to tell you exactly what to do. And they get more frustrated and more frustrated. But they have to take their own responsibility to investigate issues and to look at the assignments carefully. And the role of the university is really to stretch them about that inquiry and to ensure that they develop independent thinking. It's really a challenge for some students because it challenges some of their social interactions. You produce new concepts to them that perhaps they haven't been able to understand before or are very different to the family and friends that they mix with. And it's often at times during the programme that we see sometimes families fall apart. because either one person or another person has a completely different view of what we are working with the student about, and it just changes all of their mindset and how they will look at things in the future. We do need students to learn and to undertake reading and answering questions, I think, for the benefit of it and for their own interest in the subject. And sometimes they are quite surprised at themselves, and they'll say, and I've been to the library loads of times and it was really good, and look what else I've learnt. And you, all right, okay, that's what it's all about, really. And the use of feedback, as I mentioned, sometimes people see that as very negative and feel that they're being criticised. And students need to identify clearly that this feedback is for their benefit and that it will take them on and help them as they grow in competence, skills and knowledge. And I suppose because we're in Liverpool, I can tell you a story that I heard, that when the Beatles broke onto the scene, everybody thought, oh, they're marvellous. How have these four young people worked together and produce such wonderful music? But I don't think many people look back and see that they spent nearly 10,000 hours together as a group in Hamburg, playing 6 hours every night, the same music, and learning from each other all the time. And it was those 10,000 hours of practice that actually brought the Beatles to be what they are. For us, a critical element of professionalism is the thinking. And as I've said, universities are very safe ways of exposure to thinking. The opportunity to hear how others think, recognising that practitioners must be articulate and that evidence needs to be there to guide practice, to constrain practice and to open up new approaches. Transition is a phase, and many of us, and I'm sure all of us, we're constantly moving through these, you know, student to worker, worker to retired, single to married. It all involves autonomy, independence and interactions. I've said we design the curricula to make sure that we stretch the students and that it's a safe area for them to work around major challenges. It also helps the student recognise their fragile areas, and many of them have those. The university provides support systems and a sympathetic ear during the times when things are very, very frustrating. I think I said to you, I would ring my mum. I mean, my mum could be a registered nurse. She never ever was, but she learnt an awful lot about it in the 3 years that I used to ring her. And then my sister became a nurse, so that was worse. But people don't perhaps react in those ways. They may not have those family constructs that help them to deal with that. We don't live in nurses' homes the way we used to. So there is a sense of detachment that they have their class sessions and then off they go. We do need students to understand that there are areas that they will need to deal with, their struggles, and talk to their peers. And I'm sure alongside that, we mentioned the European Directive for Working Time. Many units now have gone back to 12-hour shifts. I know lots of units where there are 12-hour shifts, and then if you actually do any overtime, it's another 12-hour shift. I know junior doctors that are doing up to 96 hours and absolutely on their knees. So I don't know if the European Directive is helping us or what. However, as the workforce and the skill mix changes, the needs of carers change, perhaps we should look elsewhere, because some other countries have some much better systems than ours, and some of those are the developing countries. In a world where there's new pieces of software and lots of technology, I do believe as universities we've got to work with the most important piece of software, and that's the one you have between your ears. And that bit of software in the nurses' heads are much more important. Thank you very much. Thanks.